I'm Pastor Kevin.
And I'm Pastor Sherry.
And we're here with Grace Christian Center Online, and we are delighted to be here with you, and we're glad that you're here with us. If my face seems a little redder than normal, it's because we've been wrestling with some technical difficulties.
And as we said, we think that our technical angels went out and took a smoke.
No, you can't say that. Anyway. Anyway, it's a delight to be with you. We were laughing together. We were saying, well, you know, where are they going to go anyway? You know, so we hope that you're here with us, and it's a delight to be with you. The Lord bless you. We begin our services by quoting Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
He is so good. And we're here to tell you about and share with you about how good he is. And even though there's this difficulty that's happening all around the world right now, and we are well aware of it, our heart grieves for those who are ill. Our hearts grieve for those who have lost loved ones
that's
in this.
Right.
We are praying for God's healing power to be manifest around the world. We are praying for you that you will know peace and no fear, but trust that he is right here with you. And in fact, we're going to pray together this morning for a few minutes as well. But we're honored that you're here, and thank you for being with us. God is so good. You know, the Bible tells us that we can have a peace that passes all understanding. And you take a look around the world, and we're praying also for a great awakening to take place. And I know my wife has some thoughts she's going to share in just a few minutes, because Pastor Sherry's had some real insights along these directions. But we believe the Lord is calling us to himself. I don't remember a time in my life or in our lives where there's ever been an opportunity, or a time rather, when the entire world has closed down and many people, hundreds of millions of people around the earth in many countries are at home right now. Well, there's different things you can do. You can turn to entertainment and read a good book, read clean entertainment. Please don't put on the news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You'll end up just being angry or frustrated, and every side's accusing other sides. Listen, our report is the Lord's report. We look to the Word of God. Feed your faith and read the promises of the Word of God and hold on to those promises, because he is good. He is God. And he loves you. Nothing's taken him by surprise. We're not saying the Lord did all this, but he certainly has allowed it to stop us in our tracks from doing our own thing, going our own way, and having a chance to look at him in a fresh way. Pastor Sherry, what do you have this morning?
Well, we're in Psalm 38 in our Going Through the Bible in a Year reading. And David, it's David's psalm, and he is in trouble all over. He's being persecuted, and he just cries out to the Lord. And there's one redeeming verse in this, but he's being real with God. He's not hiding his emotions. He's just telling God what he's feeling and what he thinks of his enemies. And then he says in verse 15, Lord, the only thing I can do is wait and put my hope in you. I wait for your help, my God. And the Message puts it this way. That last one was from the Passion Translation. The Message says it this way. What I do, God, is wait for you. Wait for my Lord, my God, and you will answer. Amen. And the Amplified says, for in you, O Lord, do I hope.
Yes,
you
Jesus.
Will answer, O Lord, my God.
Amen.
In all these translations, it left the word in my. It's not some God out there. It's the personal God.
Beautiful.
God, you're mine. I'm yours. That's the intimacy that David is portraying in this psalm. What does it mean? David's saying he hopes in God. It means to wait, to be patient, to tarry, and to trust. And that takes time.
Beautiful.
takes time. We need to take time to be with the Lord. And as we are, we see him for who he really is. We see him for his character, the fact that he has everything in control, and we just need to yield to him. And what does it mean that God hears? Hears, from the Hebrew, means to eye, to keep your eye on, to Excellent. Pay attention to, and to respond. Even the responding. He doesn't just look at us, but he's going to respond to us. In the Treasury of David, Spurgeon states, hope in God's intervention and belief in the power of prayer are the two most blessed stays to the soul in the time of adversity.
Powerful.
We are in a time of adversity.
Indeed.
Believe me, those healthcare workers know we are in a time of adversity. He goes on to say, turning right away from the creature to the sovereign Lord of all.
Excellent.
And to him as our own covenant God. He's a covenant God. He made covenant with us.
Beautiful.
We shall find the richest solace in waiting upon him.
Beautiful.
Wow. That's Beautiful. What he's calling the body of Christ to right now.
Spirit.
He's calling us all to himself.
Indeed.
That our intimate relationship with him might be growing and deepening. That he knows that we trust in him. He wants us to get to know him even more. He wants to know us. So we need to open up as David did. We need to open up and cry out to him, and let us give him all our cares, all our worries, casting our cares
Excellent.
On him.
Excellent.
For my God, my God, my covenant God cares for you, and he cares for me.
Excellent.
Amen.
Excellent. Excellent. Let's take a moment together right now, and let's spend a few minutes in prayer together. We've got a great big God who hears about a great big need. Nothing takes him by surprise.
Nope.
He's still on the throne, and he's the God who hears our cries, just exactly as you've talked
Amen.
About. Let him know you in this time. If there's fear in your heart, we encourage you, put your trust in the unchanging hand of our unchanging God.
Amen.
He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's go to God together. Jesus, we come to you right now.
Yes, we do, Lord.
Lord, our prayer right now is for this earth, that people will stop in their tracks, not to fear, but to look up. For the redemption draweth nigh, the Bible says. Lord Jesus, you came and you took our sins, you died, you buried, you rose again, and you ever live to pray for your people. And Father, we ask you for a great awakening all around this earth. We rebuke the spirit of fear. We rebuke the spirit of affliction. We rebuke the demonic attacks that are coming to
Yes.
hinder the gospel being preached. The message of the resurrection shall go forward
Yes.
every single day.
Yes.
We stand against every hindrance to it. Lord, we believe that you are in control.
Yes.
Lord, we ask you to bathe our earth, Lord, with the blood of Jesus, and the Bible tells us you will fill this earth with your glory
Yes.
as the waters cover the sea.
Mm.
Lord, we pray for those that are watching and listening right now, or who will watch and listen at a later time. Strengthen them, strengthen
Yes,
their
Lord
families,
Jesus.
Strengthen
Yes.
their neighbors, their friends. Lord, we pray for those all around us. Our hearts hurt for those who are ill right now. We proclaim the healing power of Jesus. And for those who have lost loved ones, Lord, let there be comfort and peace. People not even being able to say goodbye to their loved ones.
Right.
Lord, we pray that you will heal the hurting hearts. We don't understand, Lord, why this kind of time occurs, but we do understand that you're in control and that you're a God who loves your people. And so we believe you pursue us. You sent Jesus for us. You send or allow things to come to stop
Yes.
us
Yes.
and arrest our attention. And as Pastor Sherry shared last week, close us up to yourself so we look to you
That's
and
right.
pray.
That's right.
Now comfort and bless your people. And Lord, give strength and wisdom to doctors, physicians, nurses. Bless and protect them, giving their lives on the front lines for us. Be with our president and the vice president, the team, Lord, Congress and House of Representatives, the Senate, the Supreme Court. Be with all of our governors, Lord, and mayors, people who are making difficult decisions. We pray for them. The Bible tells us to pray for all those in authority, and we pray. We're not going to stand and accuse right and left and all of that. We pray for those who are helping to lead, and we ask you to grant wisdom and grace. And Lord, we believe this too shall pass, but we believe we'll be a changed people as we respond to you. Now we love you, Lord, and give it all to you in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
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 Will you take your scriptures, please, and go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 17. We're going to be in the book of Acts for a while this morning, and taking some time to see what does the Lord have to say to us. And I want you to know, as we take a look this morning at what's happening in the earth, though people have put down, our president called for a day of prayer, and people put that down. And we say to people, we're praying for you, and people say, oh, we need more than prayer. Listen, the power of prayer is remarkable. It's amazing. But I want you to know, above all, he's got this. He's got this. I mentioned yesterday when we talked about coming to see us today that we would be talking about a sign in the earth. But above all, the title I want you to hold on to and remember is he's got this. He's got you. He's got me. The old song says he's got the whole world in his hands. But let's put our trust in him. I have a little dog. We have a little dog named Yummy. Some of you might have heard that dog. If she barks, you'll know about her. She's part Pomeranian and part Shih Tzu. But she's a little dog. And like all little dogs, she will bark at a moment's notice. She'll jump into the windows and she will bark. And lots of times she's scared into that. Oh, and there you see our dog Yummy right there with her mama right now. She's a delight to us. We love her most of the time. Anyway, she will bark at a leaf that blows by. And most of the time, it's birthed out of, I'm assuming, a fear. What's going to happen to me? Something's happening, and I can't, A, control it, and B, I don't know what's going to happen with it, and C, I don't know what's going to happen with me in it. And isn't that where a lot of life is right now? Do you know life can change in a day? Life can change in a moment, but life could change in a day. Let's talk about Saul. That was his Jewish name. He became Paul. That's his Roman name. Now, Paul was the best of the best of the Pharisees, and the Pharisees were the legalists who held on to the law and the jots and tittles of the law. They brought the interpretation, and thankfully, they did hold on to the law throughout Israel's history and accomplished great things, where the Pharisees were the law keepers, and Paul was the best. He was trained by Gamaliel. Now, Gamaliel was one of the most incredible teachers in all of Jewish history. There's only seven who take the top post at being the best of the best teachers. And in fact, one of the names by which Gamaliel was known was this phrase, the beauty of the law. Gamaliel was called the beauty of the law. And he taught Paul and trained him. Now, Paul was raised up in a place called Tarsus. Now, Tarsus was one of the top three known cities in the world, along with Athens, and I believe Alexandria was the other one. But Tarsus was a university town, a cosmopolitan town. People from all backgrounds and persuasions came together in this community, and he understood people, knew people, but Paul was the best of the best. Now, he was really angry at this Jewish rabbi or teacher named Jesus, because Paul felt he was an imposter. And he was especially angry at the Jewish or the Jesus followers. The Jesus followers were corrupting, in Paul's mind, they were corrupting the Jewish religion. And then we come to Acts chapter 9. What a glorious experience when on Acts chapter 9, Paul the apostle was basically knocked to the ground. A blazing flash of light knocks him to the ground. And Jesus speaks to him and he says, Paul, you're kicking against the pricks. He says, who are you, Lord? He says, I'm Jesus, the one you're fighting. And Paul surrenders his life to the Lord. He's blind. He goes into Damascus and he waits and he fasts and he prays. And the Lord tells him another man, a disciple, is going to come pray for him. He'll have his vision back again. And it happened exactly like that. And then Paul was baptized. But Paul's life changed forever in that instant. Life can change in a day. Then a little later, Paul goes to Athens because this man who fought so outrageously against the Christians and the Jewish believers or the Jesus believers began to share Jesus everywhere he could go. And he came over to Turkey and to Greece and all of these places. He goes to Thessalonica and has some hungry people, begins a church, but basically the Jewish followers kick him out. And then he goes to Berea, where they're more noble to receive the word. But then the Jewish believers from Thessalonica come and send Paul on his journey. And Saul and Timothy are back in Berea still, but Paul goes to Athens. And he has time in Athens. Now you remember Athens. Athens is one of the most major important cities in all of human history. And though at the time of Paul's day, Athens was running on its fumes because the university system, the home of Socrates, who taught Plato, who then taught Aristotle, it was an incredible place of philosophy and psychology and the birthing, some say, of the democracy, the cradle of democracy. But as Paul walks around, he sees hundreds, even thousands, if you will, statues and idols. As he goes from the seaport into the city, the main road are lined with these idols and statues, and they're posted everywhere, in front of the library, in front of the gymnasium, in front of homes at the borders of the country. And they are believed that those gods will then protect them. And as if they didn't have enough, they had one more that was dedicated to the unknown God. Just in case they didn't cover all their bases, they had one for an unknown God. If you take a look at Acts chapter 17, verse 16 is where this whole section begins. But in verse 16, we find out why Paul was especially stirred. It says his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. It literally means he was just fully distressed and so concerned because the city was given over, no matter how intellectual, no matter about their economic prowess, their university system, all of the artisans, everything that had been made, all of the things with men's hands that had been done. They still believed in all their idols. It was wholly given to idolatry. We read about, if you continue on, where Paul argues with them in the marketplace, and there was quite a marketplace there, and they agreed to meet with Paul on the Areopagus, which is also called Mars Hill. And I'm going to read some scripture, several scriptures from 22 down to 31. But I want you to see that one of the words they call Paul in some of the translations, it says, we're going to hear what this babbler has to say. So you know what that means in the Greek. It literally means a seed picker, a bird who picked and pecked at the ground to pick up seed. And it became known for a term of derision on people, basically bird brain. We're going to see what this bird brain has to tell us. And they were convinced that Paul was teaching about two gods, Jesus and resurrection. They thought resurrection, by the way, in the Greek, it's Anastasis, which was a female name. And so they thought, well, there's two gods they're talking about. But Paul picks up their statue to the unknown God and uses it to speak to them. I'm reading beginning in verse 22 of Acts 17. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you." Now, absolutely, incredibly, he uses their background, their things to reach people. This has become a model of preaching in other cultures and places where your best bridge is built when you can build upon their own poet or something from their background that they will understand. God, verse 24, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Now, Paul's being right in their face with this. We're supposed to speak the truth as Christians. Speak the truth in love, but we don't help anybody if we don't speak the truth. Nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. We have a living God. A God is alive, not a dead idol, not a statue, but a God who is alive, who can help them. The one who gives you breath. The one who helps you move and do your daily living. The one who gives you your very being. Paul begins to identify for them, who is this unknown God? And he's made from one blood, verse 26, every nation of men. He didn't just do it for one group, one nation, but all the earth. He is the creator. He is Lord of heaven and earth. And he doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. He's made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. So they should seek the Lord in the hope that they may grope for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. Jesus is here for you today. He's not far from you. Though sometimes we don't get it, what's going on. When you've given your life to Jesus, he's got you. He's got this. And he's got you. For in him, verse 28, we live, we move, we have our being. As some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we're the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. We've seen some beautiful art. You go over there, they were obviously glorious buildings. And Paul's saying, hey, there's a God who's alive. And it's not what you've created. He's created you and me. And he put the breath of life in you. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. What does that mean? It means your mind is illuminated, your heart is illuminated, you see and change your mind and thinking. And when you were going one way, you turn 180 degrees and go a different way. Lord, I see. And we'll have a chance to pray together by the end of this time together. Lord, I see that you're alive. You're the real one. You're the real God. Not what I've been worshiping, but I surrender now to you. You're the one who made me. You've got my purpose and plan for my life. He has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him, Jesus, from the dead. You know what's interesting? You take a look at today's life, and you know, people might say, well, we don't have all these statues to gods erected. No, but they're in our hearts sometimes. Maybe you say, oh, no, I recognize there's this unknown God. I walk by him all day long. I walk by the church building all day long. I know he's there. And Paul's saying, The answer isn't in your great universities, your in your art, your artistry, anything you've made, your great philosophies and psychologists. It's not that. That's all good. There's wonderful things that have been created and things that are provided for us that help. We don't discount any of that, but I want to take it higher this morning. Paul was saying there's a living God, the one who loves you, the one in him. You can have your life and being, your identity. You know, one of the things that grieves us especially right now is concern for the young people. A lot of young people especially are calling in or thinking of suicide. They're discouraged, they're depressed. Is this ever going to get better? And there's a whole new generation of people that are born in this time, and they've never been through anything like this, but this is their world. Many of you who are watching possibly went through World War II, Vietnam War. You went through the Kennedy assassination. You went through the Great Recession and the collapse and the space shuttle Challenger exploding and life's different. 9/11 occurs, and life's different than it had been before. I think right now, life's different. I'm not certain in all ways. In fact, I am certain in all ways. It's not going to go back to exactly the way it was before. But who is the same yesterday and all those years ago, today, and forever is Jesus. And he loves you. And he's got this. You see, sin breaks our fellowship with God. What does that mean? That means, well, when you do what he doesn't want you to do, or you don't do what he does want you to do, the Bible calls that sin. And the scripture says sin separates us from God. And the only way to get that sin taken care of is through Jesus. Because Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, took your sins and mine on himself. He died. He was buried. And he rose again. Listen, no matter what happens, anywhere, everywhere, the message of the resurrection through Jesus Christ, life and salvation in him, it doesn't change. The good news is still the good news. Life changes in a day. A bunch of weeks ago, I talked last week about it, thunder and lightning, but a bunch of weeks ago, we live on the waterfront, and sometimes people will party on the beach, and sometimes it gets noisy, and sometimes it gets a little distracting, and we were sitting in our comfortable chairs, and literally all of a sudden, boom, through the room went an incredible flash of lightning. I didn't know it was lightning. Silly me. It was just this incredible flash of light. So I got up, throw open the slider, and I yell down to the beach, "You do that again, I'm calling the cops." Mr. Peace, Joy, and Love here. "You do that again, I'm calling the cops." And right when I finished that word, boom, came the thunder. Not only did I look stupid, my wife's laughing in the background if you can't hear her, but I was stupid. And I stopped and I said, "Okay, Lord, you have my attention now. Is there something you want to say to me?" 3 weeks ago, the entire world came to a halt. And again, I know we're sharing your heart when we're grieved and concerned for those who are sick and those who have died. But in this time, let's stop. Consider our ways. And surrender to Jesus. If you've already given your life to Jesus, then take time and love and read the word. Again, don't just fill your heads with news, but fill it with good news in Jesus. If you've never given your life to Jesus, I want you to know he loves you. And he wants you to know true peace and joy in him. He's the one in whom we live and move and have our being. And he gives a peace that passes all understanding. You see, he's got this. All right, Pastor Kevin, so what does this have to do with being a sign of the time? Well, when you know he's got you, and when you know you have his peace, your countenance shines, your life shines, even when the day is dark, as Christians, we are lights in a dark place because we have the light of the world inside our life. Who's the sign of the time? You are. He calls us to give him away. You're surrounded right now, even if you have a stay-in-home or a stay-in-place order. A lot of states do. Hundreds of millions of people staying at home. Well, maybe you can just call your neighbor, call your family, call your friends. If you have to go to the store, which we're allowed to do, if you go to the grocery store, smile if you're not wearing a mask, or be kind. Say thank you. Thank the nurses and the attendants and the physicians and continue to hold them in prayer. Share Jesus with people by demonstrating his life and also with your words, with kindness, showing that we don't have to be afraid because we put our trust in Jesus. We're going to take a moment now to pray. If you've not given your life to Jesus, just follow me in prayer. Lord Jesus, I come to you right now, and I understand and I believe you are the Lord. You went to the cross, you died, you were buried, and you rose again for me. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Save me. Be my Lord and Savior. I repent and turn away from those sins. Lord, and I give my life to you so that if I die right now, I know exactly where I'm going, into your arms. And Lord, we continue to pray that there will be a great awakening in our earth. The people who come to know our wonderful Lord Jesus. He is the Lord of all, and he's so great. I want to encourage you today. If you've given your life to Jesus, celebrate it. Let us know. Write me here at kevinhunter@aol.com. I know that's old, I know that, but it's easy to remember. kevinhunter@aol.com. Or my wife at sherryhunter@outlook.com. Let us know you've prayed and given your life to Jesus. If you have a prayer request need, go to gracechristiancenter.us. That's gracechristiancenter.us. Now, on the left-hand margin, you'll find a series of links, and one of them says, go to the prayer chain. You click on that link, it goes to Outlook and then to an email. And the email address is our precious person who's in charge of assigning those prayer requests to our, what we call our prayer warriors, people who will stand with you in prayer. So we urge you to do that. You know, he is everything. We love him, and we love you. We encourage you to find him, that in him you'll live and move and have your being. We recognize that this is a time where it could be awfully frustrating. But today, we're here to encourage you. God bless you. We'll be back. But thank you for your patience with us this morning. And we encourage you to enjoy the presence of the Lord even today. God bless.